You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Heard about Anchor. It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Welcome to episode number 125. Of YWC Football Talk. And before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's podcast, I actually have an announcement, as I have want to give a shout out to a company up in Canada called sideline.shop. They're on Instagram at sideline.shop for all your jersey needs, whether it be NFL, NBA, NHL, or even soccer. No matter what you like, go to sideline.shop on Instagram for all of your jersey needs. With me today is Nightmare 10. Phil is back once again. But unfortunately today, we have to go to, we have to start somewhere where I honestly thought in the history of the show I never hoped to go to, and that is has to do with the horrific tragedy that occurred Tuesday night in Las Vegas, early Wednesday morning, I believe it was early Tuesday morning in Las Vegas, where former Raider receiver Henry Ruggs was involved in a drunk driving accident that unfortunately took the life of a 23-year-old girl and her dog. Just want to talk about that quickly. Just said before Phil and I talked about it, just want to send our thoughts and prayers to everybody involved with this horrific, horrific tragedy. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I thought you were going to go to the video. I'm sorry.
Sorry. We also have a video and some audio, but no, we'll talk about it first, then we'll go. Okay. I have the video to play of Derek Carr's press conference from yesterday, so I just want to touch on that as well.
Okay, I'm sorry for the awkward silence then. It's, like you said, we talked like first few seconds before we started. It's not something you want to talk about, and you kind of said that earlier too. But unfortunately, it is newsworthy. First of all, like you said, I concur with that. My thoughts and prayers, even though I know that saying is not the best, but I truly mean it. My thoughts and my prayers are with the family of the victims. They're with Henry Ruggs. They're with, just anyone involved in that situation. I don't even know the extent of how many people are involved in it, but I do know, the main parties involved. So, obviously a life was lost. And one thing I will say, whether Griff touches this or not, don't drink and drive, man. Like, it's just, like, to its core, like, and look, I'm going to be completely transparent and awesome. I mean, not awesome.
Honest.
Thank you, Griff. Honest with you guys. Like, everyone's done it. Everyone will do it at some point, right? Let's just face the facts, right? But don't do it don't do it if you can't help it. Like, I don't want my words to be mixed. What I'm saying is, at any cost, don't do it. Obviously, someone's going to do it at some point, right? But what I'm saying is at all costs, don't let that person be you. Henry Ruggs' life is now over. I say over. His life as he knows it is over. He will never – I'll say never play in the NFL again. I don't want to say that for his sake, but he made a mistake all because he didn't make one simple choice, and a choice that honestly he had – more than any of us have. And the fact is, he has the resources that a lot of us don't have, right? We have Uber It's expensive. I get all that. For a common person, it can be expensive depending on where you go. But is it more expensive than your life? Is it worth more than your life? Like, it is worth more than your life to take an Uber, right? Like, I would agree, right? Would you agree to that, Griff? So, I mean, like...
I'm sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
No, I'm saying, so I think Griff would agree with that as well, is that if it's $40 is better than, like, you having $40 less in your account, whatever it may be. I'm not saying it's going to be 40. I'm just throwing a number out there. Is that that's well worth not even even, like, coming close to risking it. And look, we're going to play the video later, but what Derek Carr said was amazing. Like, yes, Henry Ruggs does need love. And Derek Carr is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league, and that just adds to it, right? If you saw my Twitter, I tweeted about it when I saw the video as far as, like, the first, like, live tweeting it. But we're talking about it here, and it's, like, it's sad. Like, when I first saw it, I didn't know that someone was dead. So my first reaction – I didn't know someone died. So my first reaction is he's an idiot. First reaction was he's an idiot. He made a terrible decision. And then more details came out. So obviously the death came out, and then obviously the fact that he was going 150 miles per hour. I can tell you this right now. I have never driven drunk and gone 160 miles an hour, close to 160 if you round up. That is utterly irresponsible. There is zero excuse for that. And I understand what he's going through. I look, I'm telling you both sides because – he does need accountability. He needs someone to tell him when the time is right. He'll face that, right? Now, maybe the time is not that to criticize him. I get that. But I will say this. What Derek Carr said is completely fine, right? But he has to be held accountable, and he will. And he may never play football again. And that might be his accountability. That might be his consequence of that. Now, granted, he gets to live his life. Someone else doesn't. So, you know – What kind of punishment he should get, that's up to the law to decide. I'm not going to sit there and say that. But he made the biggest mistake of his life. That's just – there's no other way to say it. And it's sad, and I hate it for all parties involved. I'll just say it like that. And a life was lost all because of something that you don't have to do. You choose to do. And I drink, and I will gladly say gladly admit that I do. But I do – everything in my power not to drink and drive because it is irresponsible, and that all it takes is one time.
No, you're 100% right. That's one of the things too. Whenever I turned 19, which up here in Canada is legal drinking age, it's just the one thing I've always had with me and my dad. I knew, like, look, I can screw up. I can do many things wrong or that seem wrong. That's like a one line though. I feel like I would never cross it, but if we were to get crossed, like, it's just, you feel embarrassed, you feel ashamed, but at the same time too, look, like, you're right. He did something that was a horrible, horrible mistake. He was going, like, the last I saw from the reports, he could serve anywhere from 2 to 20 years. He currently is in a Las Vegas jail, and he could serve anywhere from 2 to 20 years in a Nevada prison. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. We'll let the justice system. It's just, I think there's just too much evidence against him. Unless, like, I don't want to go down the legal road. I just feel like he has to, like I could talk about plea deals or whatever that. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. I don't have the means to talk about it. This is just, I don't think there's any other words to say than it's just a horrific, tragic accident that occurred. And like we said too, like, I know people, like, have no sympathy, no remorse for Ruggs. I don't either. I'm just, you have to, I look, like, a lot of people have been pointing this out, and I agree with all the parties involved where, not just the life of this girl's life is ruined. Like, you have to think about too, like, we'll get to actually two audios that I want to touch on. There's also Nick Saban's from Alabama. There's also Rich Bisaccia's, but we don't want to go to spend all podcasts on this. So we'll play those two audios coming up in just a sec. But you have to look at it from, look, everyone's life. Like, Henry now has to live with the burden of, because of the stupid mistake I made of him going, I believe it was like 156 miles an hour on, not on the highway. These are on the back roads. Back roads in the Las Vegas metropolitan area, he, like, at the time the airbags were deployed, it was like 127 miles an hour. So that's still over 200 kilometers an hour for anyone from Canada for listening. But for the most part, it's just, like I said, this is a very tough incident. Honestly, I told Phil going on this is the most nervous I've ever been to do a podcast. Episode 1 was whatever. This is just something I don't want to say the wrong words or come off bad or anything like that. Like, I want to come on here and talk from the heart, because this is honestly a very tough subject. I've seen everyone giving their opinion, everyone, whether it be on TikTok, on Twitter, Instagram, no matter the social platform, and even like someone like myself, even to other football insiders, giving their outlooks and opinions on this, because it is the news topic of the week. And like we said, you wish, like, look, the grieving process would be very hard for the family involved. They haven't released the identity of the girl who was killed. And also, it was just horrific what happened, that she was involved in the crash, but then the only reason why she passed was because her car set on fire and she basically burned alive, which is just one of the most, I can't even imagine anyone having to go through the pain knowing that that's how a family member of yours passed away. But like you said, going back to like what Derek Carr said, I feel like what he said was great, because look, at the same time too, his family's life's ruined. Henry's life has been turned upside down. Everyone's life has been turned upside down. So with that, we're going to take you to the audios from Derek Carr and Nick Saban.
Honestly, with what we were told, I just didn't know if we were able to. Haven't reached out. I will always be here for him. That won't change, and I'll prove that over the course of time to him, not to anybody else. But he needs people to love him right now. He's probably feeling a certain type of way about himself right now, and he needs to be loved. And if no one else will do it, I'll do it.
I'm sure you saw the news about Henry Ruggs. Just have a comment on that and the incident that occurred in Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, you know, our thoughts and prayers, you know, certainly go out to all involved in this, you know, tragic situation, especially the victims. Our thoughts and prayers are certainly with them. But our thoughts and prayers are also with Henry, his family. And I think this is something that a lot of folks can learn from. I think a lot of players on our team, when we say challenge people to make good choices and decisions, do the right thing. Because sometimes the consequences can be devastating. And these consequences are going to probably be pretty devastating to Henry. We love him. We're going to support him through it. But we also have a lot of compassion for the victims, and our thoughts and prayers are also with them.
All right, Coach. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Sorry about that for the end, but that is the end results of the audios from both Henry's former college coach, Nick Saban, at the University of Alabama, and Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, just played through YouTube. Hopefully it came out well on the podcast. I'm going to review it beforehand, so if you notice there was some editing involved, that's on me. But if it turned out great, then this is all going to be one big podcast. Just to touch on those quickly, look, they both said the words that I feel like so many people within the football community want to say. But I'm not going to say not had the courage to say, but I feel like some may be afraid to say, because if a lot of people who say this, like who can say things, look like they're defending Henry. But at the same time, too, they're both right. Look, because right now, Henry's probably in a very, very dark place, because look, I can't even imagine having to live with the burden of knowing you took someone's life. You ended someone's life because of a simple mistake. It's a simple mistake, because look, the NFL and their players, I know in 2013 they signed an agreement with Uber, and I believe they still have it, where they can have a partnership to make sure that they can get home safely. Like, and also, too, the one other report that came out was that – so the legal limit for drinking is 0.08 blood alcohol content. The toxicology report came back that he had a 1.61 level. That is twice the legal limit. So he 100% was like – I'm going to say the word blacked out, because when you're blacked out – you don't have control over your actions. You do not know what you're doing. It's just, it's a very dark place to go to. I'm just going to say that. Like, I want to keep talking, but I kind of don't, because I don't want to say the wrong words. Do you have anything else to add, Phil?
And I agree. We should probably just move on. But one thing I do want to say, because it's getting a lot of feedback, and I think he tweeted again, Kadarius Toney from the Giants, that is not the approach to make. So Derek Carr and Saban said it great. And I'm not saying that Tony's not coming from a good place, but the way he tweeted it and the way he worded it, and now it's kind of become like, now he's getting, you know, a lot of hate because of the way he worded it. It's just immature. And I know he's a rookie in the league, but someone on that Giants team, someone in his life, whatever, needs to pull him to the side and be like, this is not the time, man. You know how some things there just isn't the time to tweet it? I've done it before. I mean, you get texts and you're like, it's just not the time, man. It's not the time. Like, you're not wrong, but it's not the time. And I think with Tony, it's not only not the time, it just was worded terribly. And it's one of the things why I'm very vocal on I say vocal, but I'm very behind players just not being on social media during the season. So
I also just if you give me a second, I also have just a quick thing from Raiders head coach. I'm just going to add this in quickly. Raiders interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia, just because I know he spoke about it as well. So just give me another second.
Person lost their life yesterday morning, and we think it's important to keep focus on that as we talk about this tragic event. We're deeply saddened for everyone affected, especially the victim's family. That being said, we love Henry Ruggs and want him to know that his terrible lapse in judgment of the most horrific kind. It's something that he'll have to live with the rest of his life. The gravity of the situation is not lost on anyone here, and we understand and respect the loss of life. And with that, I'll try to take your questions.
So that is the just one. I just want to play that as well because obviously Rich Bisaccia is the current interim head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Obviously, after the John Gruden dismissal a few weeks ago, but just to touch on it again, folks, we all here at YWC Football Talk strongly stand against drunk driving. And look, like if you feel like you have had, if you're out and you feel like you're too impaired to drive, please, please always do what you can to find a safe ride home at the end of the night, no matter who you are in this world. It's always better to play it safe than do something risky, than do something that can risk not only yourself, but others around you.
Well said, Griff.
All righty. Well, now we're going to, I know it's going to be tough to switch gears, but we're going to move gears because before we get to the week 9 slate of the NFL, which I will say right now feels super weird to say that we're already halfway through the regular season. Like, I don't like to say it, but at the same time, too, it's like, hey, NFL football. We got to talk because obviously the first college football rankings came out and we can run through it. Obviously, there is one huge omission that we're going to get into in a minute. But I have a quick beef first because the first top 4 rankings go Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, and then Oregon at 4. I do have some problems with there because I feel like – and then Ohio State, I believe, is – I'm going to pull up the actual rankings. I believe Ohio State is 5th, and then I want to say
– Cincinnati is 6th.
Cincinnati and 6th, which I still feel like, look, is a little silly. It's not right. Also, as I see here, too, that P.J. Fleck is going to be in Minnesota for a few more years. Okay, and also to college football expansion will continue on the December 1st. I am going off topic here, folks, because it's what I do best here at YWC Football Talk or in real life if you know me or if you're part of the YWC. I am super unprepared for this, obviously, because I was trying to spend more as focusing as much as the Henry Ruggs situation as I could. But so right now, yes, I have it right here. That's through NCAA.com. So here's the top 10. Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, Oklahoma, Wake Forest, Notre Dame. Other crazy omissions I want to talk about. Well, obviously, the big omission here is Coastal Carolina, but also to I feel like teams like Baylor at 7-1. I feel like Oregon at 7-1-4 is just I don't know if they're just throwing the Pac-12 a bone or not. And honestly, with Michigan State, I'm going to look up their schedule because I want to see when they play this team. But they do. What's the magical words I'm saying? So obviously, Michigan State with a huge win last week over the University of Michigan. Their next game is against Purdue this Saturday. But coming up on Saturday, November 20th, they are at Ohio State, and I feel like Michigan State is a cute little placeholder until if they lose that game to Ohio State, then as soon as that game's done, their dream goes down the toilet. I feel like the committee is just waiting for them to lose. And also, too, the fact that Alabama lost a 14th-ranked Texas A&M and is in second just doesn't sit right with me, considering Michigan's 7-0 and Alabama has the one loss. Michigan State, excuse me.
So, you ready for me to go off? So I text Griff, or I tweeted, well, text, whatever. When these rankings came out, I was actually on my bowling league. Shout out to myself because I got a 203 that night because I was so fired up. But anyways, these rankings, all right, so we all know, if you don't know, maybe you don't know, I ranted about the rankings last year when Coastal got shafted from a big what's it called?
From the rankings, they were always like down by the bottom. No, I think the highest I saw them was like 17th.
Oh, a New Year's Six Bowl is what they call it. So yeah, they were
playing the Liberty Bowl.
Six Bowl, which whatever. If Cincy got one, what like okay, all right. First year we've gone undefeated. I get it. Whatever. We only play BYU. Whatever you want to say. Whatever excuse you want to say. Whatever. The whole thing is consistency year in and year out. Okay. So I'll get to Coastal in a minute. Let's go. Let's talk about these rankings. Okay. This is exactly what I said last year, and I'll say it again. And this year, if not this year, the next year, this will mark my words on. I tweeted this. This will be the death of the college football committee. Now they're gonna. Now their answer to this is they're gonna extend it, right? That's not gonna change anything because their mindset is what has to change. And until that change, the only thing that's going to change that, of course, money. Money talks everything, right? But what's gonna really change that is gonna have these teams that are not in the Power Five. This is a Power Five college football playoff. Stop thinking it's anything else. It is the Power Five college football playoff. Until I'm proven wrong, that's what it is. And I know what you're gonna say. Notre Dame's not in the Power Five. Well, Notre Dame can kiss my ever-loving ass because they're always and will forever be the biggest fraud, okay? Like, they can win. They're only hanging on to their name. They will always hang on to their name. But this precious Notre Dame that these rankings committee, ESPN, everybody loves was beat by Cincinnati. Beat. They were beat by Cincinnati. Now, was it a blowout? I don't even remember what the score was. I don't even care, honestly. They beat Notre Dame. Precious, holier-than-thou Notre Dame, right? No pun intended. Cincinnati beat them and still get no respect. Number one, Georgia, no problem. Number two, Alabama is an absolute joke, and here's why. Texas A&M is only ranked now because they beat Bama. This team lost to two teams they had no business losing to, right? A&M is a joke at that time. Now they're ranked because they beat Bama. But Alabama has no business being now let me go ahead and preface this. These rankings are, of course, super early, and all of it will play out, right? That's what they always say, right? This is just what we think now, right? Of course, Georgia and Bama have to play each other, all that. Michigan State still has to play Ohio State, like all that kind of stuff, right? Oregon will have to play, you know, all that, right? So, but get this. We're talking about best teams right now. We're not talking about what the future is, right? This is what these rank. This is the committee's words, not mine. Past work, right? Body of work, not future. You can't guess what they're going to do, right? So that's why I assume they have Bama 2, Michigan, whatever. So, but let me ask you this, committee. You're telling me a Bama team who had no business, zero business losing to Texas A&M went in to that game and lost to Texas A&M. And now all of a sudden you're going to say Texas A&M is good and that loss is good? Get out of here, bro. A&M was not ranked, if I'm not wrong. Were they not ranked when they played Bama?
At the time, I don't think so.
They were unranked. So listen here. Coastal Carolina, I'm going to use it, not a great example, I'll admit, but Coastal Carolina lost to an unranked App State team. And they dropped to hell. And I understand they're not Bama. I get it. I don't have a better example of a team that lost. But A&M was unranked. Bama dropped like four spots. That is utter bias. That's bias. I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care what you think of Bama. I don't care if you think, oh, they had a bad night. They're still the second best team in the league. I don't care what you think. Losses have to matter in college football. They have to. They always have. And if you're telling me that loss only has Bama drop three or four spots, that is utter bullshit. And sorry for cussing, but that is utter bullshit. It just is. So that's just on Bama. It's SEC bias, first of all. There is major SEC bias. And I'm a Gamecock fan. Y'all know this. But I see through that crap. The SEC has always been and will always be, well, not always been, but has always been lately a top-heavy team. A top-heavy. There's two or three teams that are good. This year, you got Georgia. You got Bama. The next best team is Auburn or A&M. Okay? They're not top heavy. I mean, they're not the powerful SEC. Okay, anyways, I'm not going to rain on SEC. We've done that enough times with Marquise. Shout out to my boy, Nightmare Baller 1. Because I've messaged him too and made sure I was on the same page with him. And a lot of this I am. He agrees it's going to play itself out. But, you know, anyways, so not to completely go off on any longer. But the point is, these rankings don't mean shit. And what these rankings are going to do is you're going to have a Cincinnati say, F your rankings, right? And we're going to start a Power 5, we're non-Power 5. Now, Cincinnati, I think, joined a Power 5, didn't they?
Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and BYU are all going to the Big 12 when Texas and Oklahoma eventually do move to the SEC, I believe, in 2024 or 2025.
Right. So maybe the answer is you have to join a Power 5. I don't like that answer. I think the answer should be anyone not in a Power 5 should literally come into an agreement and either leave the NCAA, which is massive. I don't know if that would happen, but or say we want our own college football, or we're gonna just agree to play. Because I've seen teams. I assume they have to get NCAA approval, but BYU and Coastal played out of nowhere. So I assume if the two teams can agree and it's legal, they can make it happen. Now NCAA might not recognize it, but then you have like mutiny on your hands, right? I mean, like. This is where it's going. And I know that I'm maybe thinking of the extreme. Like, money will talk, so we'll see what money does. I'm just predicting this. I'm predicting that either one of two things happen. One or three things, I guess. Either all these teams are going to join Power Fives. Either it's going to be clear that it's just a Power Five, and the committee is going to have a nightmare on their hands and have to extend the playoffs. And then we'll see. Will they just add more Power 5 teams? Because that's not the answer. The answer is to be able to get non-Power 5 teams. So if you want to put the only four you're going to put in is Power 5 teams, okay, then say that. Stop lying. Because it's idiotic to tell me you don't think that you're not saying it's Power 5 4. Basically, if you're in a Power 5, you have to lose three games to not make it. That's just a fact. You have to lose three games, and everyone has to lose three. Then Cincinnati has a chance. Looking at these rankings, knowing that where they rank them now, Cincinnati legitimately has zero shot at making it. Zero. I'll say it right now. They have zero shot. And the reason why I say zero is because Bama loses. They're two losses. You don't think two losses? I don't know if they're going to put them behind Cincinnati. Let's say Bama wins. Then it's over. Then their shots are completely gone. So, anyways, I've ranted enough, but one thing I'll say is, lastly, I won't rant that long, but Coastal Carolina not being ranked, they're 21st in the AP poll, is utter bullshit. I'm done.
I'm just going to say something, and I heard Paul Feinbaum say this on ESPN Radio the other day. The AP poll means shit once these rankings come out. Like the AP poll means something, but like now it doesn't mean absolutely anything because everyone pays so much attention to these college football rankings. Like, yes, the course is going to play itself out, but the one big argument I'm going to make right now is, look, eventually, we're going to get Georgia and Alabama in Mercedes-Benz Stadium this December. It's bound to happen. They're going to meet for the SEC championship. If Bama loses that game to Georgia, they do not belong in the college football playoff. I'm sorry, a two-win team doesn't get in. Hell, the only reason why I'm going to go to Oregon. Oregon is only ranked because they beat Ohio State. That's the only reason why Oregon's in the top four, excuse me. Like, Oregon very well probably will win the Pac-12 championship. But the only reason that they're in there, because look, the Pac-12 is the redheaded stepchild of college football. Let's be serious. Sorry, Alex Larson. It's just the truth. I know Oregon plays Washington this coming Saturday. And then also, too, like I said, with Michigan State, I feel bad for them because, look, they're having this great season. Mel Tucker's a great head coach, really changed that program around. Good chance he's taking the LSU job, USC, Penn State. There's going to be a bunch of jobs. I say Penn State because I think James Franklin's going to take one of those big-time jobs in college football, too. But the fact that Michigan State is basically a placeholder until they lose to Ohio State or if Ohio State wins the Big Ten championship, because, look, I feel like it's going to be the same thing. These championships are all – I'd only say – because, look, the – and even that's the other thing, too. I don't know why Oklahoma is underranked compared to Oregon. Oklahoma's undefeated. Now, obviously, they changed quarterbacks. They've had a lot of high-scoring games. They almost lost to Kansas. You know what? That's Big 12 football. Big 12 football, no defense, all offense. I love it. Bet the over if you're betting Big 12 football. It's easy money. My whole thing with these rankings is just that, look, we know that eventually for all we know, we're going to end up getting Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and then that's how it is every year. I heard Kirk Herbstreit say this numerous times where, look, with college football this year, we knew going in, look, obviously one team didn't pan out. That's Clemson. Clemson's a lot worse than we thought.
But every year for the last year, everyone's going to assume, oh, it's Ohio State, Clemson, Bama, and you're figuring out the fourth seed. This year, it's going to be a musical chairs unless Alabama slips somewhere down the line. But I don't see them losing anywhere anytime soon. I know they still have to play they have to play LSU this Saturday. That's probably going to be a win for them. And they have to play Auburn in the Iron Bowl, which more than likely will be a win, barring something crazy. So that's all I'm saying. Alabama's going to make it in. The only way they won't make it in is if they lose the SEC championship game to Georgia. Now, obviously, we know Nick Saban had the illustrious record against assistants. And even to your right, because I remember it as you were saying that Alabama had a game going of, I didn't believe it was 100 straight wins against unranked opponents and 24 straight wins against ex-Nick Saban assistant coaches, and then Jimbo Fisher broke all that. But even, too, with Texas A&M, I looked it up. They lost to Mississippi State, and they only beat Colorado 10-7. Colorado does not have a good program right now. They're not one of the good programs in the Big 12. Big 12, frankly, it's only, in my opinion, Oregon, USC, and we'll see what happens with Alex's Huskies. My whole thing with this is, look, we all know what exactly the committee's doing. It's just like, just admit it. Just tell us the truth. But they're like, no, this is what we think. We all know they're bullshitting, and they're just not going to come clean with it. That's literally what it is. They're just going to make it seem like everything's fine, but it's not. We know the system's flawed. And they basically, Phil, the way they think they're going to fix at it, they're basically throwing crap at a wall and hoping it sticks. That is literally what they're doing by expanding it.
And here's the thing, exactly. But here's what they're going to do when they expand it, because, like I already said this, but you pointed it out again. Mississippi State, with three losses, is ranked 17th. That infuriates me. Coastal Carolina has one loss, which was a tough – I understand it was a bad loss. I get that. But it wasn't a bad loss if you look at – they had to go to App State, which is not an easy place to play. Okay? It's not.
Baseball field, though. Beautiful baseball facility, though. I've seen their stadium baseball.
And – they had to go to App State, and they should have won the game. I get that. And they should be penalized for losing it. I get that. But they should – unranked? You're telling me right now that Mississippi State can beat Coastal Carolina, because I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that Wisconsin at 5-3 can beat Coastal Carolina. I don't want to hear it. If they could, put up and shut up. That's what I want to know. If you're a Wisconsin fan listening to this, if you're a Mississippi State fan listening to this, if you're a San Diego State fan listening to this, tell me you can beat Coastal Carolina and put up or shut up. That's all I want to hear.
So I'm going to say this so far with Wisconsin. So their losses were Penn State. So here's who they beat in, actually. I'll do this better. So they beat Eastern Michigan, who's not ranked, Illinois, Army, Purdue. Their only impressive win is Iowa.
Who's ranked under them now?
Iowa is currently ranked at 9th.
All I say is I pray.
Oh, 22nd, excuse me. They dropped because of that.
Let me say this. I pray Coastal Carolina ends the year strong, wins out. The wins aren't going to matter. Wins out. Everyone else just keeps losing, and they have no fucking choice. And then they put this – sorry for my language, sorry. They put Coastal Carolina in. I'm passionate because I went to this school, by the way, for anyone that cares. I love Coastal Carolina, and they're not getting the respect that they deserve, and I understand they lost. But last year, this is 2 years in a row, and I'm doing the same passion for Cincy. I have a friend that went to Cincy, a really good friend, and I've said the same thing to him. They got hosed. If Cincinnati wins out and doesn't make the college football playoff, that college football playoff will not matter. I will not watch it. If Cincinnati wins out, I'm talking about wins out. Doesn't matter what anyone else does to me. Does not matter. If they win out, they make it. If they don't make it, it's a joke. It's just a flat joke. And Coastal Carolina, if they don't – get back to that. If they win out and they get ranked eventually, whatever, right? Maybe they don't get ranked. I don't know. And they give them a bowl game against the SEC team. I can't wait. I freaking can't wait is all I'm going to say. I can't wait.
The only thing I'm going to say about
– I'm going to channel my own rival, Bart Scott. Can't wait. Let's go.
The only thing I'm going to say about – the only thing I can see, and I've heard people say this, is just Cincinnati's strength of schedule, because they play Tulsa, South Florida, SMU – and East Carolina, all teams that aren't there.
Notre Dame.
That's the thing, though. They've beaten Notre Dame. They beat UCF 56-21. They put a stomping on Temple 52-3. Now, I know that doesn't mean much because Temple's a bad program, but still, you have to respect the records. Looking at strength of schedule is like, oh, but they played this and this and this.
Strength of schedule is bullshit, because guess who gets to decide that? These Power 5 teams. So I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, like, you know, like, for example, Alabama, when they play a school like Mercer and they know they're going to get killed, Mercer gets $2 million. Like, that's the thing that was so preached about last year with the COVID-shortened season and only playing in conference, was the fact that all these small schools lost millions of dollars
Because, look, hey, there might be a game where you're going to know, willing to go into it, getting your ass kicked. It benefits the school because college football funds so much, not just for athletics, but academics.
And what's going to happen when these teams say, we're not playing you anymore? They can do it. Now, granted, funding, there's a lot of funding situations. There's a lot of stuff I don't know about.
Money talks. Gladly
comment. And what did you say?
Money talks.
Yeah, money talks. And I get all that, okay? I know everyone's going to, like, come back and there's a lot of opinions about my rant, but I'm going to say this. Eventually, and I'm going to use a wrestling reference, okay? Eventually, people stop watching WWE, right? Eventually, yep. Their seats and their attendance and their ratings are going down. Is it taking a while? Yes. But the proof is in the pudding. And eventually, the TV deal ain't going to be as sweet anymore, and they're going to move on. So here's the answer. When people stop watching college football because they're not a Georgia, Bama, Michigan State, Oregon, Ohio State top team fan, when they stop watching, what are you going to do? They only watch when their team's playing. If you don't put their team in the game, those bowl games, I'm sorry, okay? They matter to the schools and to the players. To the fans, they don't mean horse shit. I don't care. Once Coastal didn't get a Big Year 6, a Big 6, whatever you want to freaking call it.
New Year 6.
A New Year 6 bowl game? I didn't care anymore. Did I watch the game against Liberty? Yes, because I want to support my boys. But it didn't matter. That game did not matter. And there's no one that you're going to can tell me that it did.
No, it did.
Winning that game meant nothing because we got thrown a bone. Not even a bone. We got thrown at scraps, a.k.a. Liberty, who, by the way, got so much attention going into the offseason. And where are they? Okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Like, I know Liberty had Malik Willis is one of the top quarterbacks in the country right now, but we'll see where it goes. But look, you even have 7-0, like I said before, you have 7-0 Oklahoma. They should be in the top four. Like I said, the only reason, my only gripes with this is I feel bad for Michigan State and I feel bad for Oregon because I know that, look, the committee is going to find any excuse to pick them out because the committee already knows who they want. The college football playoff, I'm sorry to say this, if Alabama's not in it, you're going to lose national interest because not only – because when you see the name Alabama, it's like the New York Yankees. It's like the Dallas Cowboys. Like, I'll say this too. I know we do not like the Dallas Cowboys. And look, we like it when they lose. It is best for the NFL when the Dallas Cowboys are good because they know how much of a moneymaker it is for the league. I'm sorry to say it, but it is the truth that – I'm not saying it's like a dark truth that people don't want to admit, but at the end of the day, we all know it's true with what it means for the Dallas Cowboys to be good, what it means for the LA Lakers, what it means for the New York Yankees, even though the Yankees are consistently good. There are all these franchises that, guess what, have a national fan base that will always be there for them. And now with Alabama, though, I'm still on that boat. You go into Atlanta in December and lose, because like I'm saying, I already know it. That first Saturday in December, we're getting Bama, Georgia in Atlanta. Rematch from 2018. If they lose, there's absolutely no excuses for Alabama to be in the playoff. Actually, I don't know if it's the first weekend in December. Oh, yeah, I think it is. Last year was later, obviously, because of COVID and everything. My mind got a little hazy. So, yeah, the weekend, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. How about that? December 3rd.
Yeah.
December 4th, excuse me. So, yeah, that's literally all I have to say about the rankings. For right now, it's just overreaction hot takes. But, look, once this weekend happens, you've got to start settling things out. And like I say, too, I still feel bad for Michigan State because I feel like the second that they either lose a game or Ohio State beats them, they're out. Michigan State will be in a New Year's Six Bowl. More than likely, I think if they don't make it to the playoffs and Ohio State does, they'll probably be in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. But at the same time, too, you've got to look at it like that where you feel bad for them. Because like I said, you get this good program and then finally, look, that committee's finding any way to get you out. But at the same time, too, they probably know they could make it. But I'll say this right now, Oklahoma runs the table, goes undefeated, wins the Big 12, they're getting in. There's no excuse why they shouldn't be in if they go undefeated.
Right. No, I agree.
And also the school, too, that whenever I hear their fight song, I don't think of the school. I think of good old J.R. Jim Ross.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But look, for the Power 5, it'll play itself out. For everybody else, no one cares. So.
Exactly. But no, that's the thing, though. If
Cincinnati doesn't care. Sorry. I said rewind.
I know. Cincinnati, though, I feel like worst case scenario, though, you've got to give them a New Year's. You have to give them at least a New Year's Six Bowl, even if they don't get the playoff.
But they got that last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they almost beat Georgia in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, Georgia had to come back against them. So I miss me with that. That's all I'm going to say. Miss me with all this. Cincinnati's not, don't play nobody.
All right, folks, well, let's move on to the slate. Obviously, we're recording right now. It is 5:58 on Thursday. First time in a long time I'm recording before the slate of games. Actually, first time in a couple weeks, excuse me. Last time was with Joe Miller III a few weeks ago when we were on the Bills talk. But tonight, Thursday Night Football, we have the Indianapolis Colts taking on the New York Jets. Colts are a 10-point favorite. Over-under for this game is 45 points. And I'm going to say this right now. I know the Colts lost last week and the Jets looked down impressive against the Bengals. I'm going Colts. Why? Because, look, I think in theory lightning doesn't strike twice. And can we all remember, too, that this Jets team had a 50-burger put on them 2 weeks ago by the Patriots? I'm just saying. Look, I know Danny's probably going to hear that right now and be, well, this is after the game, and he might be saying, I told you so. But I'm heavy on this Colts. I'm heavy on this Colts, Fred. I think the Colts take this tonight. And like I said, too, I feel like there's so much recency bias with the NFL teams. Like, if one team has, like, a really good week, that everyone gets on them. Like, you know how Cincinnati, for example, perfect example, because they lost to the Jets. Week before, big divisional game against the Ravens, win 41-17, going to New York as a 10.5-point favorite, you put up an L. I'm just saying that right now. I can see the exact same thing happening with the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know where Danny, I mean, kudos to him for having, I guess, positive vibes on the Jets, but he gets hung up on this stuff every time. And I love you, Danny, but the Colts are winning this game.
Now, Pittman over 69.5 yards, by the way. Mark it.
Right. So do I have, like, massive confidence in the Colts? No. Do I have them confidence in the fact that the Jets aren't going to do it back-to-back weeks? Yes. It's a week. Look, you have to have a short-term memory in certain things when it comes to matchups in the league. It's the NFL. Every once in a while, you're going to see a game that shouldn't have went one way or the other, right? It just happens. And I think the Jets had Cincinnati's number. I mean, you think you're going to see a different Cincinnati team this week as well. So I've got the Colts. I'm not even worried about it.
I'm not worried about it either. I feel like, look, there's a chance that I am brain farting right now hard. There is a chance that the New York Jets do a backdoor cover. Yes. I just think at the end of the day, like I said, lightning doesn't strike twice. Cause I feel like a lot of these teams we'll have one good game, and then the next week it's kind of back to square one. Like, for example, let's take the Jets. They had that win against the Titans week 4, and then week 5 they go to Atlanta. A lot of people think, hey, you know what? They're going to take advantage of an Atlanta team that's kind of down. Similar situation with tonight's game. You're going to take advantage of this Indianapolis Colts team, and then they lose. I can still see the Jets covering, but at the end of the day, if I had to pick it, I'm picking Colts to win and to cover the spread. It's a 10-point spread.
Yep, I agree.
Yes. Well, moving on anyway, folks, to Sunday, first game on the slate, the Houston Texans at the Miami Dolphins. Miami opens as a 5.5-point favorite. 46.5 point is the over-under. Also, for tonight's game, too, I'm going to say this right now. I think the under hits a 45. I can't – 45.5. I can see this game being like 20 – I'm going to say 21-10, Colts win. Sorry about that. I forgot to include the score before, but I see the Colts winning that 21-10. But for this game right here, I'm sorry. I am sorry to good friend of the show and man who was on the show last week, Mr. Big Rat 310. I'm going Houston Texans to win this football game. Because I saw a report today. I'm pretty sure Tyrod Taylor is starting.
Oh, Tyrod Taylor is starting for the Texans?
I got to look that up, but I'm going – from what I saw, I think it was actually Danny who tweeted it because obviously Danny, the Big Rat – who always have their great Twitter exchanges. I just got a few folks give me a second. Just hang on tight. Yes, right here. Tyrod Taylor, as from Pro Football Talk at 12:34 p.m., Tyrod Taylor will start Sunday versus Dolphins. Texans, and this is from Danny a few hours ago, Texans money line is a real possibility at Big Rat 310.
There you go.
Yep. So there you go with that. And then for this game, though, I'm going Texans. I'm sorry. I think Miami's just in a really weird place right now, and I think that the smart money bet lays with the going with the Texans. I think it's a possibility, but at the same time, too, I think there's a chance that they at least cover the spread.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know Tyrod's playing, so that kind of changes things. I'll go with the Texans too. Miami Tua is questionable. I don't know how questionable he is, but. I did see that. So I'll go with the Texans too. Tyrod Taylor could change that. That team's not like super untalented on offense. So.
Exactly. Next up, Denver at Dallas. I think Dak is back. I think Cowboys win this one easily. They Cowboys are my lock of the week.
Yeah, I agree. I think they win easily. Yeah, there's nothing else to say. I want to say luck's the right word to say, but they dodged a bullet and getting a win over the Vikings and are not taking an L without Dak. So that shows you how talented that team is.
Exactly. They're well coached as well. Also, too, I just can't see it with Denver. I just, like, if you know before, I'm not a Bronco guy. Next game is an interesting one. We have Cleveland versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 2.5-point favorite. 47 is the over-under. I'm going to go over. I think the over is a good chance the over hits in this game. I honestly don't know who to take for this one, but with Baker's injury, I got to do it. I'm leaning Bengals.
Yeah, I actually think the Bengals are going to win this game. I like Joe Burrow a lot. I think he's going to bounce back in this game. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, just a good team. I just think they just dropped an egg against the Jets, which is there's no excuse for that, but I think it'll only make them better going forward. I still think Cincinnati's a playoff team, and Cleveland just does not look good right now. And there's some kind of weird thing going on with OBJ. Like, they're breaking rules, apparently, is what I don't know if I read that right, but, like, apparently you can't tell if someone they can't show up to practice, apparently, or something like that. Something along those lines. I might not be wording it right. So they have to, like, with Deshaun Watson, he's willing to not come to practice and still get paid. So that's different. But, like, OBJ is not, like, wants to come to practice, but they're asking him not to. So they have to cut him legally if I read that right. So that's weird. I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe that's not all true. I don't know. The fact they didn't trade him, I don't know if anybody – I mean, who would trade for OBJ at this point? Like, I understand, like, there's a lot of teams like, ooh, we would want him, but, like, is there the interest? Because if there's interest, I feel like Cleveland would have traded him. And they don't want to cut him because they're going to lose
Saints.
They did try, I think. So I don't know if they – I did hear the Saints tried, but, I mean, I don't know whether Cleveland – is Cleveland asking for too much?
From what I saw, that is what it is. Cleveland was asking for – Cleveland was getting a little aggressive on the trade front.
And that doesn't make any sense to me if you're not going to play him. Like, I mean, Watson is a different story, okay? That's a whole other beast, right? But OBJ is taking up money. Like, you're paying him. Like, you can't do this with, like, anyone not a quarterback, right? Like, you just can't do it. So I don't understand that. I've got the Bengals. Until the Browns prove me otherwise, they look pretty crappy right now. And Baker's just not – he's not the same. Like, you can watch the game and tell he's not the same. So, and they refuse to let him get healthy, I guess, which is dumb to me, but whatever. So I got Cincinnati winning it.
I think they just want to play. They're just trying to play him just because obviously they know, look, their team isn't as good with him. So they know that they got to,
without him, right?
They're SOL without, it's as simple as that. They are SOL without Baker. I think, look, at the, end of the day, I just hope they make the smart option, what am I going to say? He's got to get the surgery. But even, too, there's all the rumors with him. Like, they may move on from him if something else is out there, which I don't think is right. I think you keep Baker, let him play his fifth-year option out.
Unless he's going to come play, that's the only option.
Yeah, unless Aaron Rodgers, like, come, which we will get into, folks. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, hey, I want to come play for Cleveland, that's, like, the only excuse why you do not, like, why you play, like, why you trade for him. And also, too, OBJ, I don't know if you saw this, but OBJ's dad posted a video of basically every open pass. So I think that has something to do with it. Plus, two of the I know the Saints wanted the trade, but I think the asking price of Andrew Berry was way too high. I think they wanted a first for him. I think eventually he's going to get waived, and then someone's going to put in a claim. I just hope he doesn't end up in, like, Kansas City or Tampa Bay. I hope he ends up somewhere where, look, he's going to be that number one guy, even if they're not a true Super Bowl contender.
But here's the thing that, like, I don't understand, like, I don't think he's going to get waived because here's the thing. Like, if the Saints are offering – let's just say the Saints are offering you a third. If you're going to waive him at any point, if that's in your mind, why would you not take that? So they're obviously either trying to make it work, which doesn't look like they're doing that at all, or they're literally going to eventually have to cut him, I assume, at the end of the season. I don't know. End of the season? I mean, I don't understand that. Why would you have not traded him and got draft capital for it? Stupid. Doesn't make any sense. But whatever. That's because, the Browns.
Because teams are silly.
Idiots. I mean, the Browns organization has always been idiots. So, sorry, Cleveland.
Exactly. Moving on. Next, we have Minnesota at Baltimore. Baltimore opens as a 6-point favorite. Over-under is 50 here.
I'm going to say this right now. I'm going with the Ravens to win this game. But I like the spread for Minnesota. I really like the spread for Minnesota to cover it and keep it a close game.
What's the spread?
6 points.
I don't know, man. Minnesota is the epitome of what, like, week to week changing, right? Like, Minnesota is talented enough to win most of their games, right? But they're also Minnesota, which wouldn't shock you to lose a lot of their games, like last week. You know, here's your chance to actually get a win on Dallas, and you can't do it. I mean, I understand Dallas is more than just Dak, but, you know, anyways. But isn't Minnesota, like, that team that, like, you don't really even know? Like, so I kind of agree with what you're saying. And plus, Baltimore has had instances this year as well where the Lions and is another team I can't think off the top of my head that they came close to with. But the same thing. So
Baltimore, Vegas.
No, it wasn't Vegas. They lost to Vegas.
Oh, right.
It was another one they were close to, and they pulled it out. But Lions was one of them. Here, I can click. Hold on. I'll click it right here. I'm on.
Chiefs is one of them.
It was Colts. They had to come back against the Colts.
Oh, yes, that's right. It was 22-3, and then they won it overtime.
Yeah, so they had to come back against the Colts, and they had to do the same thing against the Lions, which it's not hard to do against the Lions. I get that. But Justin Tucker saved their butt, pretty much. I mean, he did. There is no pretty much. If he misses that kick, they lose. So Baltimore could do that. That being said, I still have Baltimore to win, and I think they cover. But I would not be surprised to see Minnesota play well.
Sounds good. I'm with the same. Next up, we have, obviously, like we talked at the top of the show, everything going on with the Las Vegas Raiders. They travel to New York to play the Giants. The Raiders are a 3-point favorite. The over-under for this game is at 46 points. And throughout all of the tragedies, out of all the tragedy that's occurred this week in Las Vegas, I got to say, I personally still like them to win this football game.
Yeah, and for some reason, I don't know what it is. Now, they've played better now. Don't get me wrong. But now, all of a sudden, people think the Giants are good. like they're not terrible. I'm not saying – obviously, they beat the Panthers 25-3, whatever, but the Panthers aren't what we thought they were now, that they're playing teams that are good. Now, the Giants aren't good, but these are still the Giants, okay? Let's not forget. They did upset the Saints. They did, like, I guess beating the Panthers is an upset. And then it was close against the Chiefs, but the Chiefs just aren't that good right now. I'm not saying they won't be, but they're just not that good. So that was kind of like the fact that Chiefs had to barely beat the Giants is says a lot too. I think Vegas is – look, who was my – all right, so I couldn't pick the Pats to make the playoffs, right? Who was my pick again for the playoffs? What was that team? I think it was the Las Vegas Raiders. Like, Miguel, I don't know. Miguel, you have to tell me if you listen to this. I don't know if you thought that I was, like you were happy that I picked them, or you thought that I was crazy for picking them. So I never got the understanding behind that. Miguel is a busy man. He's a dad, so I get it. But if you listen to this by some way or shape or form, maybe we'll have to get him on the podcast and I can ask him. But yeah, anyways, I was just throwing that out there to him. That's between me and him. But Vegas, I still have them making the playoffs. Vegas does not, if you look at their schedule, I have Vegas winning this game. But they have the Giants, then they have the Chiefs, Sunday night football game at home. Who really knows what's going to happen there, right? We'll cross that bridge when it comes. Then they got the Bengals, they got the Cowboys. So they have the Chiefs again. They have the Browns. I'm talking about like games that could be tough. Colts, Chargers to end the year. And then easy games, they have Washington and Broncos. So I say easier games. And the losses this year, I mean, they did lose to the Bears. That looked kind of bad. They lost to the Chargers, and that's it. So I think they're making the playoffs, and I'm still standing by that. So that's a talented team. Even without Henry Ruggs, that's a talented team. And my boys, one positive that I wanted to talk about in a game-related way for Ruggs not being there anymore, my boys Hunter Renfro and Brian Edwards are going to ball out even more now. So, not obviously, I would rather it not have come this way, but
I completely understand. But no, I feel like if you need someone for fantasy football, Brian Edwards, I believe, is available in a lot of leagues now. Unfortunately, we will say unfortunately because of everything that occurred. But no, I do agree with that. And Hunter Renfro's been a really good guy this year. I feel like now this is going to elevate their roles. Just for this game, though, and I'll say this too about the Giants. Like, they're not a bad team. I just feel like they're in a weird roads right now where it's like they're trying to figure it out. And I feel like them too also kind of expectations were a little higher for them and they're not living up to it. And it's the same old season for the Giants.
Right, I agree.
Yeah. Just give me a second, folks. Okay, on to the next game. Saints versus the Falcons. The Saints are a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under for this game is 42.5 points. We still don't know who starter for the Saints is this coming Sunday afternoon. But one thing is for certain, I still like the Saints to win this game.
Yeah, well, Taysom Hill has been cleared, so I think he's playing. So he's going to be their quarterback. Yeah, I think the Saints win this game. The Falcons have shown, like, a little more, like you know, they've kind of, like, mellowed out a little more, but their wins against the Jets and the Dolphins, so how big are those wins? Dolphins, I mean, they kept the game close against the Panthers, which that's a division game, so, you know. But I think that, I think the Falcons, I will say this, the Falcons are better than they were. I don't think the Falcons are going to make the playoffs or anything, so don't come at me with that. But I do think they're going to be better later in the season. The problem is their next three games are Saints, Cowboys, Patriots. So, and then Bucks, sorry. Well, they have Jags in between that. So, yeah, it's not looking good for them. But I do think they play better in the game against the Saints because, as also to note, Michael Thomas is officially done for the year and maybe done for in New Orleans. So, we'll see about that. But, I've got the Saints winning. Probably a close one, honestly. I don't know what the spread is, but.
6.5 points.
Maybe Atlanta could cover that. I'll actually say that. Atlanta might cover that.
I agree with you. I think Saints win, but I can see the Falcons covering. Next one is Bills and Jags, 14.5-point spread for the Buffalo Bills. I think this is an easy win. I think it's a simple, easy win for the Bills. I just think, look, I thought the Jags, hey, after Miami, I thought last week, hey, with Geno Smith, there was a chance they were going to win. I was sadly proven wrong, and for that I am picking against the Jags. It's like last week I bet on the Detroit Lions to win. I'm never doing that again in my life.
Yeah, I actually picked the Jags to beat the Dolphins when they did, so that looked like a good game, and they won it, so I just had a feeling on that game. Seattle I thought would be closer. I didn't think they would win, but I thought it'd be closer, and it ended up not being close, so maybe they just can't go into that environment and win. That might have been a lot of it.
Exactly. And before we say what the last 1 o'clock game of the Sunday slate is, I believe Phil has an announcement regarding this game. I don't know if he's gone public with it or not, but would you like to share?
I have not gone public with it. I'll break news on here. I don't know when this you're going to release this, but
it'll be out tonight.
Oh, okay. So bam, it will be breaking news. So breaking news, your man, Nightmare 10, will be live in the Panther Stadium, Bank of America Stadium. I think it's still that. To see Mac Jones live in person and the Patriots take on the Panthers. And I am hyped. It looks like Sam Darnold might not even play. So it could be ugly. And I love it. And I'm ready for it. Now, Carolina's defense is good. I get that. One note about Stephon Gilmore. He's apparently crying because we didn't handle his injury right. Well, you're hurt, buddy. And no one would trade for you. That should be all you need to know. So that's all I'm going to say. That is my boy, but I don't understand why he had to attack the I don't know why he had to go after the New England's injury. I think he wants to play, and New England wouldn't let him play. And Matt Rhule's letting you play on third downs, apparently, is what Matt Rhule said. So let's calm down about the injury thing. But I just want to throw that out there. But, yeah, so I think New England's going to win this game, and I can't wait to watch it. CMC may play. That could change things. If he doesn't play, this is not going to be close. I'm sorry. It's just not. This is the first time I'm confident in New England winning. Now, I'm not saying New England's going to win like 50-0. That's not what I'm saying. But I think New England wins comfortably, especially if CMC doesn't play and Darnold doesn't play.
I believe CMC, he's practicing, so I'm pretty sure he will be playing
on
Sunday.
Very limited. He's very limited.
He's limited. Okay. But so to cover up a couple things. So one, the spread for this is 3.5 points, which I like the Patriots at 3.5 points. That I will say. I think the Patriots win. I'm not going to say close, but I'm not going to say comfortably. I'll say maybe a score, like a score and a half, like maybe a 7 to 14-point win I could see for the Patriots. I know I don't like to predict that usually, but I feel like, look, Atlanta, if our D-line can have their way, like with guys like Wise and Judon, if they can wreak havoc against Carolina, who has a banged-up offensive line, and if we can contain Christian McCaffrey, I feel like we'll win. But at the same time, too, I'll say this. I would much prefer to see Sam Darnold, the quarterback, than P.J. Walker, because P.J. Walker is way too unpredictable.
Right. I agree. I mean, it's P.J. Walker. Has he even started in the league before?
He has. It's just, you know how, like, sometimes there's, like, situations like this. Like, look at last Sunday with Cincinnati and New York. No one thought Mike White was going to do anything, and then the Jets beat the Bengals. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, sometimes, look.
I agree.
You want predictable under what's unpredictable.
I mean, I do understand that. But I will say that I also think that like Bill's very good against quarterbacks that don't play very often. So, anyways, but I agree. I mean, it's, you know, the you want the person you know versus the one you don't. I agree with that.
100%. Well, anyway, 4 o'clock window. The first game of the 4 o'clock window. I don't know why it's at 4 o'clock. It's on the East Coast, but we have the Chargers going to Philly to play the Eagles. 1.5 point spread for the Chargers. And 50 over under. I don't know what the over under is going to be, but I feel like the under would hit. But give me. I think the Chargers. This is a bounce back game for the Chargers. I feel like last week, look, Justin Herbert does not play his best football against Bill Belichick. I don't know if you saw any of the stats in that, but his Justin's two worst games of his career have come against New England. So I think, simply put, this is a bounce back game for the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree. I think Chargers. I say they win comfortably. I don't know if like big, but they win comfortably.
Exactly. And then we have San Francisco going, San Francisco hosting Arizona, excuse me, where San Francisco also is a 1.5 point favorite over the Arizona Cardinals. It's only because of Kyler's injury. I'm going to say this, like I said last week too, if Kyler plays, I'll take the Cardinals to win. But right now, since he's questionable, I'm going to go San Francisco.
He's questionable?
Yeah, Kyler hurt his ankle last week in the play before AJ Green boo-boo.
Sit him, man. Come on. Don't be a Cleveland. Sit him. It's okay. One game is not going to lose. Sit him if he's even remotely hurt. Sit him. Play Bob Jones the third, okay? I don't know who their backup is. Play him.
Colt McCoy or Chris Streveler.
Colt McCoy, there you go. It's a solid guy. I mean, just don't be – I don't understand. Like, Baker Mayfield shouldn't be on the field, but whatever. We're not going to go back to that. If Kyler Murray plays, I have Arizona. I'm with you. If he doesn't play, I'll go San Francisco. Is Jimmy G's still playing, correct?
Yes, Jimmy G will be playing this Sunday. He's back. Trey Lance is still banged up.
By the way, I got to shout out my boy. You know it, Griff. You know I talk about him all the time. Second in receiving yards in the freaking league, baby. Deebo Samuel.
Respect. Who may not be playing Sunday. Baby.
What'd you say?
I don't think he's playing Sunday.
And he might be playing Sunday. You're right, he is questionable. But respect on that boy's name. Let's go. So proud of him, man. He's so good. So good.
Also, I'm watching, so in the background right now of our podcast, I have on the pregame for tonight's game, and they show the crowd shots. Obviously, there was Jets fans, there was Colts fans, but I saw a guy in a Broncos jersey, and I'm sorry, but if you wear a random-ass, like, a jersey to a sporting event, I've done it before, and I realize it's kind of silly. It was an all-star jersey, but I've worn Raptors gear to other games, but if, like, it's cool in the moment, but sometimes for football, I think for football, it's silly.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of agree. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, I watched went to a Panthers Broncos game when Peyton was with the Broncos. I went, yes. My invited me, so I went. I was like, a chance to see Peyton, you know, in the NFL. I don't think I wore Patriots gear. I'm pretty sure I didn't. That would just be weird. I don't know. Like, it's not weird. Everybody knows your team. Like, just don't wear Broncos or Panthers. I don't know. I kind of agree with you on that.
And then last game, and also too, the only thing I'm going to say about the Patriots game this week that concerns me is this game 8 years ago when the Patriots played the Panthers in Carolina is when my beef with Cleet Bleepman started, because he should have called a pass interference against Luke Kuechly on Rob Gronkowski, but he didn't, and we lost the game. And he's roughing again this Sunday in Carolina, so just a heads up there.
And another fun fact, guess who was at that game?
I'm going to say you were too. That was a Monday Night Football game in 2013. Monday Night Football
game is the only time I've ever seen the Patriots, so maybe that will play into it. And I was in the end zone of that call, so I did not – so live, I did not think that it was pass interference, but or I thought it could go either way. when I got back home, I'm like, yeah, it was pass interference, but I mean, I got to see Tom Brady play, and he got the final play in the end zone. So I'm not as connected to a negative light as most people are on that play.
I understand. Well, anyway, next game up, Packers at Chiefs. This spread jumped quickly. It was first 2.5 points for the Chiefs. Now it's at 7.5 points for the Chiefs. Packers, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is on the COVID-19 list. Obviously, he is not COVID-19 vaccinated. Jordan Love is going to be making his NFL debut on Sunday. For as much as I like to bet against the Chiefs on the spread, because the Chiefs are 0-4 on the year against the spread, at 7.5 points, it's just too much to say. I think you've got to go Chiefs to win and cover here. I think you have to, because this is the only thing that's going to bother me, though, is that if they win this game, you know that, like, Chiefs fans are going to be like, oh, we're back, we're going to be going to the Super Bowl and all this fun stuff, when in reality, look, if you're 5-4, you still got a long way to go. And also, they still have to play the Raiders and the Cowboys, so I think Chiefs have to go 3-0 down the stretch before their bye week to have a chance at getting back in the picture.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I was having to respond back to somebody. I think that, first of all, let me gather my thoughts. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, if he lied about being vaccinated, and I say lied because, of course, he said immunized or something and didn't say he was back. I don't know.
He bullshitted the media.
Basically, he lied. So now it becomes. Now I heard reports that he has followed protocol of an unvaccinated person in the. But of course, they're going to say that, right?
He spoke without a mask to the press. That's breaking the rules.
Exactly. So my thought on that is, how does Rodgers not get fined, if not suspended? If that's Tom Brady, I'm going to sound the biggest homeboy in the world. But if that's Tom Brady, Goodell suspends him for 6 games. I'm just like, I don't know what the protocol is. I don't know if he just get. I think they can just get fined if I'm correctly.
It'll probably be a fine and maybe a draft pick here or there. I can't see it being.
But didn't they say that teams would forfeit games?
That's if they couldn't. That's only if they couldn't field enough players to play a game. Say if a team has an outbreak, which hasn't happened luckily this year so far. And knock on wood for that one, folks.
Well, the Packers are pretty close to an outbreak, so whatever. But anyways, Rodgers is an idiot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're a Rodgers fan. He's a great quarterback, but he's an idiot. And he made a mistake, and he should own it. But, like, at least if you're not vaccinated. So I don't understand that. I've got the Chiefs winning this game. Blake Bortles actually, by the way, might start. I don't think he will. I think he'll be Jordan Love. But he could. They did sign him as a backup because he – was on the preseason squad before Rodgers decided to show up and play. This is just whatever. I could go off on Rodgers. I'm not going to do that. Chiefs win this game. I don't think this is the answer. This doesn't solve all their problems, though. The Chiefs are not a good squad right now. And I will say this about Mahomes, man. Like, I said this at work today. Like, Mahomes makes – and I know a lot of quarterbacks do. Tom Brady made some terrible decisions last week under pressure. But Mahomes under pressure has got to – he's got to chill. Like, you can take a sack. Like, you can take a sack. Like, 2 weeks ago, he threw I'm pretty sure he threw a pick six when he should have thrown the ball away or took a sack. It's just, all right, I think that's when he played the Titans. I don't know if that was 2 weeks ago. I think it was. Whenever I was on the cruise, because I watched it on the cruise. Or saw that part on the cruise.
That was the Titans.
So, yeah, so, like, I understand people make mistakes. All quarterbacks are going to do that under pressure, but I've just seen it a lot with Mahomes, like, it just happens. I saw it before when they would win and while they were winning and slash losing, early on, like when they won the Super Bowl run or whatever. But it's like, and even last year, now granted he had offensive line issues, but it's like, I don't know, man. Mahomes is just making some choices that's made me scratch my head. But he's still great. I'm not taking that away from him, and he still wins this game.
Yeah, I think it's the same. I think there's too much for Kansas City to win this game. So if Kansas City loses this game, the only way I can see it is if Jordan Love has like an or if Blake Bortles has an outstanding day. But the only other thing I'm going to say this to is, and I've seen this a lot on Twitter because I think you follow Fitzy on Twitter, Patriots fan, who said how many draft picks are the Patriots going to get fined? And I know in my room right now, I just see my dad, who's a Saints fan, who said the same thing last year too, because the Saints got. They got fined a lot for dancing in the locker room after they beat the Buccaneers, which if the Packers don't get as a significant fine, it just looks like the league is picking and choosing who they truly care about, which, look, I know Aaron Rodgers is a superstar, but you have to treat everyone fairly.
Nope, and I agree.
Considering the fact that he's unvaxxed, too, is just another level. The fact that he lied about it.
And he lied about it. He should be fine. Like a big fine, or he should lose a game, which obviously he's losing a game anyway, so that might be how they look at it, but nah.
Normal citizen, sorry to cut you off, but normal citizens are being told if you see a fake COVID card or anything to report that shit to the FBI.
Yeah.
No. I know it's different. Like, he didn't fake having COVID or anything. He told the team the fact too that he just said, oh, I'm immunized, but he never said against what. It just opened up a whole can of worms.
Yep. And it just doesn't make – it just goes to the fact that I never understood why so many people – and I understand on the field that's whatever. But why everybody's painted Tom Brady as the worst guy off the field, right? But Rodgers is a dick. He just always has been. Like, there's just – he don't care what no one thinks. And I get that that's appealing to some people, but he just is. Like, I'm not talking about his on-the-field stuff. Okay, we can go – we've done that. We can go there all day, right? Like, he just isn't – like, Tom Brady's a likable guy. Like, everyone – I mean, I guess – I mean, when you win, obviously, you know, you're hated more than anybody. But anyways, that's just a huge pet peeve of mine because Rodgers has always been – he just comes off as a douche to me, but whatever. He's not a likable guy is what I'm getting at.
It's all good.
I mean, you're a Packers fan, obviously you're gonna like him, but
yeah, 100%. But okay. Anyway, let's move on. Are we cool to move on to Sunday?
Yep.
So Rams and Titans Sunday Night Football. I know the Titans are without Derrick Henry. They signed Adrian Peterson. I have a hot take.
All right, go ahead.
I don't know if the Titans win, but I think they cover 7.5 points. I think this is just like bait that people are gonna take. You know, where they're like Tennessee's vulnerable. They're this. They're that. Tennessee, even without Derrick Henry, I still feel like they're a good football team. They have Julio Jones, they have AJ Brown. I know the Broncos have Von Miller, but this is not the Von Miller from 5-6 years ago when he was on those Denver Bronco Super Bowl caliber teams and the one that won the Super Bowl. But I'm going to say this: I think this is a spot where potentially people overestimate the abilities of a Derrick Henry-less Tennessee Titans team.
Well, first of all, I want to say, I feel terrible for Derrick Henry, man. Like, when I heard this news, like, I was legit devastated as if I was a Titans fan because the dude deserved MVP this year. Like, there was no question in my mind. You could make an argument he deserved it last year. I don't know if it was last year, but the year four. Not last year, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe both years. I don't know. But this year, he definitely was on track to, like a true MVP. And this game's going to prove that. I honestly believe that's going to prove that. Now, I agree with you. It could be closer than people think. But I do think Von Miller is actually a big, 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 big move for the Rams because it just adds to their defense. It adds to their nastiness. It's going to help Aaron Donald, guys like that, Ramsey, other guys. So I think that's where it's the big thing because it just makes your other guys better because now you have another guy they have to worry about. So that's why I think it's good. I agree Von Miller's not the Von Miller that he was. But I still think it's a monster move for the Rams. And I think the Rams win. They do win. I think it could be closer. I don't know if the Tennessee Titans are going to cover. But I do think now Henry could come back for the playoffs, and that would be a huge story in itself. So if Tennessee can just try to maybe steal one here and there, I still think they can win against – you know, they're not a terrible team without him. I just think they're not going to win against the Rams.
You know what? I agree too. I'm the same way. I just, like I said too, I think this is a spot, you know, where everyone's expecting. It's like, it's like 2 weeks ago with the Rams and the Lions. Like, everyone expected the Lions to kill the Rams. That's not exactly what happened. The Lions kept it close, but that's just how I see it. Last but not least, Monday Night Football, probably a game, honestly, I don't even care about. It's the Steelers versus the Bears. I'm going. The spread is at 6.5. I believe. Let me double check to make sure it's correct because I was looking at my spread pool. So the spread right now for this game is at 6.5 points, and the over/under is at 40. I think. Look, I don't. Like I said, I could give two shits about this game. It's just a game where it's like, who cares? It's two teams that I just do not care about. Sorry, Tommy. But also, I don't know of any Steelers fans directly that listen to this podcast. But when it comes to this game, it's just a very what seems like mundane primetime game. And even I said it to Big Rat last week on Monday, I was like, oh, hey, it's Steelers-Bears this week. And he literally was like, ew. And I have the same reaction. I'm just like, yeah, ew. It's not an attractive Monday nighter. But give me the Steelers to win. That's all I got to say. Steelers to win, and I think they cover too. I think the Bears are a big letdown team.
Here's what I'll say. I think the Bears win, actually. I don't care about this game, but I don't – Pittsburgh is a poser. That team beats teams when – all right, so let's look at their – all right, so they beat Cleveland last week barely. One, they one of the most idiotic plays I've ever seen in my entire freaking life, putting your kicker out on risk like that for no freaking reason. So Mike Tomlin, I will – I've said this on the podcast before, I think, or at least a podcast. Mike Tomlin is one of the most overrated coaches in the league. I will stand by that. And I know that I'm in the minority, but I will stand by that until he proves me otherwise. As far as getting like just winning big games, like he can win, you know, he wins here and there, but whatever. Do I trust the Bears? No, it's Monday Night Football. You know, the league is weird. The Bears always seem to pull off random wins. They did it last year. So that's why I'm kind of riding on that. And the Steelers have beaten three straight teams that are trash, and they barely beat them. The Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Browns. Their losses were to the Raiders, the Bengals, the Packers, and they beat the Bills by some miracle week one fluke, right? So the Steelers aren't good. And I also will mark my words. Now this game might end up being a big part of that. Now they play the Bears, Lions, Chargers, then they go to the Chargers, or they play the Bears and Lions, then they go Chargers, Bengals, Ravens, Vikings, Titans, Chiefs, back to Browns, Ravens. Wow, after reading it, it's worse than I thought it was. So all teams that potentially are playoff teams, Vikings maybe not. I don't think the Steelers make the playoffs this year.
I saw that same prediction. It's just like I said, I think.
Wise or not, but I do believe that now.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying the same thing. I just still think, look, when it comes down to these two teams, I think that I'm just going Steelers. That's all. Like I said, I just think that if I had to compare these two teams, I think the Steelers are the better team. For sure. That's all. Yeah. But anyway, folks, I know this episode went on for a bit. We're at an hour 17. We're going to wrap it up right now. Look, this honestly was not – this is one of the more difficult episodes I've had to do here on YWC Football Talk. I remember Phil was here when we had to talk about COVID-19, and I know he was here today. I'm not comparing the two anyways. I'm just saying that it just happened to be that, look, the two toughest episodes – not two toughest episodes, but, like, episodes where the subject matter wasn't directly about what happens on the field had to do with Phil, and I appreciate you for doing that. And, yeah.
Yeah. It was good to have it. Sorry for how heated I get, but you guys know I'm a passionate fan, so.
Well, it's all good. Well, anyway, folks, thank you very much for listening to episode number 125 of YWC Football Talk. Join me Sunday night as Pat Lane and I break down the Patriot-Panther game and the season so far for the Pats. Have a good one, everybody.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.